We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. And the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. So I've been using Armoire, and I'm actually wearing one of their shirts right now as I'm recording this, and it's a great idea. You don't have to commit to buying the clothes, but you can really start to explore your own personal style. Like if there's a trend or something that you've been wanting to maybe try but not commit to, this is absolutely perfect. Because if you don't like it, you just put it back in the bag and get something else. Because we've all been there. You open your closet, and even though it's packed, you feel like you have nothing to wear. And with Armoire, that's a thing of the past. They make it effortless for all women to turn heads with stylish everyday looks. You can rent high-quality designer clothing for any occasion, and it's all tailored to your personal style. Plus, you don't have to do laundry, and you don't have to go shopping. It truly could not be any easier. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month, which is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/ATTWG. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/ATTWG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today.
Hey there, it's Kona. You may have noticed that our episode was a little bit late this week, and that's because we had every podcaster's nightmare happen. We lost the episode. So what we had for you was a two-part episode, and part one is Lost into the Ether. I discovered this as we were on our way to Pittsburgh for the Labor Day weekend, so we were unable to re-record. We will do that. Part two is still available, so we're going to get both of these out as soon as we can. But in the meantime, I have something cool for you. So it's not our episode, but my friend CJ, who hosts Beyond the Rainbow, a true crime podcast about the LGBTQ plus community, has given us her episode on Fawn Marie Mountain. Now, Fawn Marie Mountain is a Pennsylvania woman who went missing under extremely suspicious circumstances. She was last seen in Claysburg, Pennsylvania on November 20th, 2012. So we're talking almost a decade. And while there is a very clear suspect in this case, nothing has happened. So we wanted to help get her story out there. And luckily, CJ had already done an episode on her. So that is what we have for you this week. So we are super bummed that we couldn't get our episode this week, but we do have a good replacement for you. Right now, listen to CJ from Beyond the Rainbow tell you about Fawn Marie Mountain.
Hey, 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 Rainbow Warriors. This is my disclaimer. Beyond the Rainbow is a true crime podcast. It's not suitable for young children, and maybe not even for some adults. I tend to swear like a sailor, and I'm kind of proud of that. Listener discretion is advised. Hey there, Rainbow Warriors, and welcome to Beyond the Rainbow, True Crimes of the LGBTQ+. I'm your host, CJ. Look for me on the socials. I'm on somewhere as Beyond the Rainbow, and other places as Rainbow Crimes. Please also check out my website at beyondtherainbowpodcast.com. There you can find all sorts of things. Links to missing but not forgotten LGBTQ plus members, photos from past cases, and even a link to my TeePublic merch store and Buy Me a Coffee account should you be able to help support this one-woman, researched, written, recorded, edited, and produced show. Wow, I sound incredible. Also, I would love it if you'd all check out Darkcast Network, of which I'm a co-founder along with my pod bestie, Paige. There are so many great shows with us, from true crime, conspiracy theory, paranormal, and darkly obscure type podcasts. I'm not sure if anyone else has ever noticed, but some people seem to be doomed by the universe from the minute they're born. It's very sad and it's not fair at all. The young woman that I'm covering in this episode just happens to be one of those people. She seemed to be condemned to a life of heartache from a very young age, and it hurts my heart to read about everything she's had to endure in her young life. She disappeared 9 years ago at the age of 25. This was the end of November in 2012. Her case needs to be heard and her story told over and over until there is some resolution and some justice for her. There's a Facebook group dedicated to her, and in this group they ask everyone to never forget about her and to tell her story over and over again. And YouTube influencer Kendall Ray has even covered her case. So if you've heard Kendall cover it, I'm not going to be telling you anything new, because nothing new has really come out. And although Pennsylvania state troopers swear the case is active and ongoing, there really seems to be no one working on it but her family and friends. They're the ones that are keeping her name and her face out there. As for law enforcement, her file's gathering dust in the way that so many cases do when old eyes see nothing new in the case. Why the case isn't given to fresh eyes with fresh ideas, it's beyond my comprehension. So without further ado, let's get into it. Fawn Marie Mountain was born a Pisces on March 2, 1987. She lived in Altoona, Pennsylvania. She was a sweet and caring little girl, and she grew up to be a sweet and caring woman. in spite of the agony and torment that she went through in her life. You see, beginning when she was a little girl, Fawn was sexually abused by family members and friends of family members. This abuse made Fawn feel less than worthy of decent treatment. Because of this, Fawn would grow up to be in toxic relationship after toxic relationship. And I want you to remember this because it's an important factor in Fawn's life. Growing up, Fawn was particularly close with a female cousin of hers named Bridget. Bridget was only a few years older, but the two were more like sisters than cousins. At 16, Bridget had a baby, and Fawn was right there to help her with the baby every step of the way. But Fawn continued getting into toxic relationships. This time, she was finding herself in destructive romantic relationships with men. One of her relationships when she was a teenager was a physically abusive guy. This guy she ended up having 3 children with. 2 children were born healthy, and the last child, a little girl, was stillborn. Fawn named the stillborn baby Caden, and she had Caden cremated. Now, Caden's ashes became hugely important to Fawn because Fawn had her other 2 children taken from her and put into the foster system because of their abusive father. And somewhere during this time, Fawn turned to drugs and alcohol to cope with her situation. The drugs and the alcohol was something she could control, and it would numb the pain of losing her 3 children. Because of the drugs and alcohol and the toxicity of her many abusive relationships, Fawn and her closeness with her cousin Bridget subsided. The 2 cousins were on completely different paths in life. The 2 didn't see each other or communicate with one another. One night in 2009, after escaping a physically abusive guy, Fawn was at a nightclub in Altoona called The Island. She met a pretty butch dyke named Heather Dibert. Heather and Fawn hit it off right away. Heather was charming and sweet to Fawn, and Fawn loved how kind Heather was to her. Fawn was sure getting involved with this woman was gonna be different. I mean, women are naturally gentler and more nurturing, right? But let's be honest. Who hasn't been in a relationship where the first few weeks or months are absolutely amazing? And then something clicks in the person who's wooing you. They hook you. And then they turn out to be a dried booger. Or worse, they're abusive, manipulative, controlling. And we've talked about the different kinds of abuses. There's verbal, emotional, physical, financial, and sexual. Many times, these abusers don't just have anger issues, but their problems go much deeper. Maybe they're narcissists. Maybe control freaks. Maybe sociopaths. Maybe a combination of disorders. Dr. CJ knows there's a lot of diagnoses out there for the perpetrators of abuse. But what kind of person falls victim to the abuse over and over again? We touched upon it a little bit with Fawn. A person who repeats falling for toxic people are normally ones with low self-esteem and self-worth. It's hard for them to leave because they don't know they deserve any better. And often, they don't know any different. It's what they're used to. Many times, the abuser will tell them that they don't deserve better. The abusers will tell their victims they're ugly and no one else will ever want them. The abuser will tell them they're lucky to have anyone at all in their life. And the victims are told this so many times, they believe it. When Heather met Fawn, she gave Fawn the attention and the compliments that Fawn needed. Something to build her up. And this made Fawn ecstatic that this woman wanted her for who she was. Heather would tell Fawn how beautiful she was, and how she'd give Fawn the world if Fawn would just be her girl. And Fawn wanted this. She loved Heather's words, and how Heather treated her like she was the only woman in the world. Heather made her feel safe, protected, loved, desired, and cherished. If this is what true love felt like, Fawn was in. She didn't care what her sexual identity was now. She loved Heather and how Heather made her feel. And soon the two would find an apartment to live together. Fawn and Heather would have several different apartments they would live in during the 3 years they were together. And of course, Fawn would bring her most prized possession, Caden's ashes, with her everywhere she moved to with Heather. What Fawn didn't know about Heather? Heather had restraining orders against her from 4 different ex-girlfriends. Heather, who also had trouble keeping work, once again decided it was time to move. She wanted to move closer to her family in Claysburg, Pennsylvania. Claysburg is about 25 minutes from Altoona. During this time, Fawn's mom was really starting to worry about Fawn. Her mom felt like Fawn was changing, and not for the better. Fawn seemed to be more sad and intent on doom. She told her mom Heather wanted to move her to Claysburg, and she was afraid if she goes with Heather, she may never see her home of Altoona again, in spite of the fact it was only 25 minutes away. But Fawn was an adult and her mom couldn't stop her, so Fawn did what Heather wished. Heather and Fawn moved to Claysburg and into a trailer next to Heather's brother and his girlfriend at the time, Stephanie. Fawn and Stephanie got along really well. Heather went to work at the family butcher shop. Her parents owned it. Finally, a job where nepotism would pay off for her and she wouldn't be fired. For the past 3 years, Heather kept a very watchful eye on Fawn. She told Fawn it was for her own protection, and Fawn mostly believed her. When Heather worked, she would take Fawn with her, and she would make Fawn wait in the car until her entire shift was over. This wasn't something new that Heather had just made up, either. She actually had lost some of her previous jobs for taking Fawn to work and making her sit in the car. Heather would lock the doors of her car, and an alarm would sound if Fawn tried to leave the car. It was for Fawn's safety, of course. One day, Fawn threw caution to the wind while she was locked in the car. Heather was inside at work, and Fawn opened the door to the car and bolted. Heather heard the alarm sounding, and she immediately left work to drive around frantically looking for Fawn. Heather even knocked on doors of neighbors looking for her. Fawn eventually returned because she'd left Caden's ashes, which, as we know, were everything to her. And you can bet there was hell to pay once Fawn got back home. Heather beat the shit out of Fawn. But it was for Fawn's own good. She was teaching Fawn compliancy and obedience. It wasn't the first or the last time Heather was physically abusive towards Fawn, especially after Heather had a few rounds of drinks in her. Often, Heather would go tie one on at the neighborhood bar, and then she'd come home and beat on Fawn. After one such night, Fawn had ligature marks around her neck from Heather choking her. But Fawn always seemed pretty quick to forgive. On days that Heather didn't bring Fawn to work, she'd lock Fawn in their trailer from the outside with a padlock. Again, this was for Fawn's safety. One day, Heather's mom had stopped by the trailers. Heather wasn't home, but the mom had heard Fawn having a conversation with her neighbor Stephanie. The two were talking through the trailer's open windows. Heather's mom tattled on Fawn to Heather, and the following day, Heather was boarding up the trailer's windows. Not only did she not want Fawn talking to Stephanie anymore, but Heather made damn sure Fawn wasn't talking to her own family members either. Heather even went so far as to coerce Fawn into issuing a restraining order against Fawn's own mother. Warriors, as you listen to how Heather treated Fawn, how, air quotes, protective she was of her girlfriend, you probably are seeing a pattern here. A pattern of control and physical abuse, which gives us a pretty freaking clear idea of why there's so many exes of Heather's with restraining orders against her. Just a few days after Thanksgiving in 2012, Fawn had spent almost all day with Heather and her family at the family's butcher shop. They were bleaching and deep cleaning the shop and equipment. They were getting it ready for the hunting season. At the end of the day, Heather's dad passed out beers to everyone who was helping. It was a way to say thank you. Heather side-eyed Fawn because Heather didn't like Fawn drinking. Stephanie, you know, the neighbor and the brother's girlfriend, she recounts this day to several media sources. She also added how Heather is very possessive. You think? Among other things. That night, on the way home, Heather stops at her brother's house to help him move something into his trailer. While Fawn is sitting in Heather's car, she got talking to Stephanie. Stephanie said Fawn was in a great mood. She was happily talking about how she couldn't wait to go inside and relax. She was planning on watching some scary movies. That would be the very last time Stephanie ever saw Fawn. Early the morning of the following day, Stephanie saw Heather outside smoking a cigarette. She asked where Fawn was, because normally wherever Heather was, Fawn was required to be there as well. Heather shrugged and said,
"I got up at 3 a.m. to use the bathroom and she was gone."
Stephanie had a hard time believing this. She'd seen how manic Heather had acted before when Fawn took off. Fawn had left behind all of her belongings, including her most cherished Caden's ashes. Family and friends of Fawn said there's no way in hell she'd leave Caden's ashes, and I tend to believe them. Not long after Fawn's disappearance, Heather had the carpeting in the trailer ripped out and replaced, and she had some cement poured outside for a dog run that was never used. And before you shout at the podcast app, "That's where Fawn is," which was my reaction when I read about it, I know that the cement was broken up and no remains of any kind were found. Also, I believe I read Heather was evicted from the trailer for not paying rent. Before she left the trailer, she stripped it of everything. Nothing was salvageable, so the owner just burned it down because it was of no value. All of this was done before any luminol testing for blood or any kind of evidence could be looked for in the trailer. Since Fawn's mom had a restraining order against her, it wasn't until 2015, 3 years later, that she was reported missing. Fawn's mom didn't know who else to turn to, so she turned to Fawn's cousin Bridget, and Bridget has been tirelessly searching for Fawn since then. On November 26, 2021, we just passed that 9-year anniversary mark of the last time anyone has ever seen Fawn alive. Heather went on with her life. She met another woman, married her, had a restraining order filed against her by this woman, and then the last I read, the woman got back together with Heather. Heather has also done some jail time for robbing someone or something. Oh, here it is. From 2017, Heather A. Dibert, age 36, 210 Binks Mill Court, Claysburg, Pennsylvania, charged by Logan Township Police with 3 counts of conspiracy, 3 counts of receiving stolen property, and 3 counts of theft by deception at Boskov's, 139 Fallon Lane, Altoona, August 25th. Boskov's is a department store in Altoona. It would appear that a Lois Dibert, who was 59 at the time, was arrested with Heather under the same charges. Could that be Heather's mom? Possibly. What an absolutely lovely family. Sadly, I feel like I know what happened to Fawn. And I'm afraid it's the same thing that happened to Lisa Lynn Stone of Dallas, Texas, and to Diana Gonzalez of Winter Haven, California. Those women were also victims of domestic abuse, and we don't know their whereabouts either. Fawn is between 5'1" and 5'2" tall. She weighs about 105 pounds. She's a petite little thing. She has blue eyes and brown, black, or auburn hair. She has a large tattoo on her back with angel wings and R.I.P. Caden. She also has a tat with the name of Brayden on her neck. Should you have any information regarding Fawn or her disappearance, please call the Pennsylvania State Police at area code 814-696-6100. Or you can contact Crime Stoppers. There you can make an anonymous tip. Nobody ever has to know who you are. You can reach them at Pennsylvania Crime Stoppers, area code 800-4-PA-TIPS, 4-PA-TIPS. TIPS is 8477. This episode's Crime Quickie comes to us from Washington Parish in southeastern Louisiana, near the Mississippi border. January 12, 2020, Washington Parish Sheriff responded to a call from a frantic mother. Her teenage son was missing. 17-year-old Jaquarius Taylor was nowhere to be found when she woke up that morning. The night before, they had said goodnight to each other. Jaquarius's mom was always worried about him, and it wasn't because he was a bad boy. He was a good kid. But she was always afraid he was too good and someone would hurt him. It's believed that Jaquarius was gay. Jaquarius was black. And it's believed he was gay. And being both of these in a Bible Belt state, his mom feared he would be the victim of a hate crime of some type. A few hours later, Jaquarius's mom's worst fears were realized. Police were called to a pond in Angie, Louisiana, not far from where Jaquarius and his mom lived. What they found when they got there was 17-year-old Jaquarius dead with a bullet hole in his head. The search was now on to find who had murdered this popular Varnado High School senior. Jaquarius was a drummer in his school's band, and like I said, he was a good kid. Months went by and no leads as to who killed him. Then in March, there was a break in the case. A 20-year-old named Joandre Dawson was arrested, and he was charged for second-degree murder of Jaquarius. Get this. Joandre is Jaquarius's cousin. Other members of Jaquarius's family believe that Joandre killed his cousin as a hate crime. Joandre confessed to murdering his cousin, but his motives aren't clear. I don't believe this case has went to trial yet, so I have no sentencing to tell you about. I assume since Joandre made the confession, he will serve time. And if I hear anything in the meantime, I'll be sure to bring it to your attention. Rest in power, Jaquarius. Love you, Rainbow Warriors. Happy holidays. And remember, it's not a crime to be gay. Unless you're a murderer.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.